Okay, what's the plan moving forward? It's fall, and obviously it's kind of a normal time, a regular time for ministry things to change and to happen in this world. In the fall here, kids are going back to school. I know, kids, I know, I'm just like, it's not fair. Summer came and went too fast, right? But you've heard some announcements about some ministries that'll be happening, and by the way, also, falling right in suit and right in line with that, I just let you know, too, that this is the second to the last message in this series that we've been doing this summer. And so 2 weeks from today, we'll start a new series. We'll pick up a New Testament book of Scripture, and we'll begin it in chapter 1, verse 1, and follow straight through it. And we'll do what's called exegesis or exposition. They're actually related but different disciplines in going through this book of Scripture. Okay? And so I think it's essential that the teaching ministry of the church be straight from Scripture. Okay, so that's coming. That's on its way. In a couple of weeks, we'll pick up a new book. You want me to tell you what it is right now? Now, should I leave that for a week or two? Okay, I've scheduled it out. It's going to take us till February. I want to do 2 Peter. I want to do 2 Peter. It's really going to be wonderful. You can't let me preach 2 Peter right now because we have to finish two more sermons this series here. It's actually, go ahead, you're egging me on. It's actually Peter's last will and testament. He makes a reference to that in the text itself. There's actually a whole chapter on the good news. What is the truth about our salvation? And then there's a whole chapter on the bad news about false teachers. And he had to deal with this. They had to deal with this 2,000 years ago. There's a phenomenal defense of God's patience and salvation. When people who are against God criticize God and say, he said he was coming to save, he was going to return, he must be slow in returning. And Peter gives this amazing answer. Don't we know that the patience of God and waiting to come and return is actually for your salvation? And there's also a very strong warning in the book about how the world will be destroyed and the elements will melt by fire. In three little chapters, the exaltation of the testimony of the truth of Almighty God witnessed when the three went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and saw Jesus' glory, heaven opened up and for a moment got to see Jesus in glorified state. And then that strong affirmation in his last will and testament as he leaves it to the church, the people to follow, where he says, know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of man's own interpretation, but men were moved along by the Holy Spirit as they spoke from God. So you can trust the Scripture. What a great book. We're going to have fun with that one. And it's going to take us till February. All right? So we'll start that in 2 weeks. What year? February, what year? Good question. Great book. I think it's fantastic, okay? So, boy, you baited me into that one. But it was pretty easy. I stepped right forward into it, didn't I? So what are we doing the last two messages? You know, here at our church this summer, this is message number 8 of 9, and we've gone through some church basics. The title of the series was Church, What's the Point? The subtitle was Rediscovering God's Purpose for the Church. And, you know, I realized something as I went through this. I realized, you know, this fall, I was thinking, it's really important that churches do what they call like a new members class or orientation class or you want to know anything about our church kind of a thing. You know what I've just done in 9 messages here this end of the summer? Our whole church just went through the new members class. Did you know that? This is exactly what I would teach in a new members class. Because this, I believe, is so foundational to God's purpose and plan for His church. And it's all about now. So if you're checking us out and visiting us and trying to, okay, what does First Baptist Church stand for? What's the pastor believe and do? Or if you want to know things that we would disclose and share with people about membership at our church and what our church believes and does. Well, the first message was on the church that Jesus builds. The second message was on the church that Jesus uses. The church that Jesus builds is upon the greats of Scripture, the great confession, the great commandments, and the great commission. And the church that Jesus uses about how the people inspired and strengthened by the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts responded to the gospel, and the church was born and birthed in that way in the book of Acts. We went through glorifying Christ in worship, discipleship, and mission, which is our identity statement here at First Baptist Church. Had three separate messages on that. Why join a church? We talked about that, had a whole message on that, and about baptism and the body language in Scripture from 1 Corinthians 12. We talked about spiritual gifts in the church and how I believe that God brings people together with varying gifts, but there's one Spirit, and He brings us together to serve in His body together, and Jesus alone is the head of His church. And today's message is on turning the church inside out, and next week's message, the last message in this series, is being the body of Christ for the world. Whew. All right? So, honestly, I'm really serious. I don't think I have to run a new members class this fall. I thought I was gonna. Had it in my mind to do it maybe like during Sunday school hour or something. But you know what? I've actually just run our church through everything I would cover in a new members class. And if you have any questions, do see me or see our staff. Our doctrinal statement, what we believe, maybe our membership covenant, what that looks like. We hold membership. We actually believe it's biblical. And we hold it. Please hear this carefully. It's not a legalistic thing. We actually believe it's a gift of God. Salvation is a gift. And then membership in God's family and His church is also a gift. And this whole idea, if you were with us this last year through the whole book of Ephesians, this new community which God is creating that is coming away from and out of this broken, fallen world, that people of Jewish background alike with people of Gentile background who have come to Jesus Christ by grace through faith are a new people of God, a new man. That when we come to Christ, I love what a brother said recently, and I'll just echo it again. He said, you know, when you come to Christ, you start to become what God made you to be in the first place. We're marred by sin, we're marred by the fall, we're marred by our rebellion against God, and when we're reconciled back to God through Jesus Christ, His cross and His resurrection, He brings us to become who we were meant to be in the first place. Think of the language of Paul in Romans chapter 8 when he says that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's also that wonderful passage a lot of people love, you know, about the idea of God works out all things for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And right there in that same section, Paul says, for you were predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. See, our image is marred by the fall, original sin. It's marred by our own sin, our own rebellion against God. And then when we come to God in Christ and through Christ, He recreates us to be more like Him. Isn't that beautiful? So this is what this is all about. And this is what the church is for. The church in all ages and all places and all nations throughout the world, God is taking broken sinners and restoring them to Himself, the way He wanted them to be in the first place. What a beautiful image. So what about today? This is going to be a little bit different kind of a sermon, because today I want to talk about what I'm really doing is two last messages in this series on application. Maybe if there was another question I'm trying to answer in these last two messages, it would be, let's say somebody came to our church and they're seeking membership or they're wondering what we believe. What if they said to Pastor, what do you think our church should do? Pastor, what's your philosophy of ministry? How do you do ministry? These next two messages would answer that, okay? And we actually have a lot of this in place. I'm going to show you some programming that we actually have in place. Before I do, I actually hinted to this. I wanted to share some. Now, I'm going to go to some negative illustrations because we need a biblical positive answer. But I want to share some negative illustrations from a guy that, and some of you are going to laugh and smile right away, Tom Rainer. Tom Rainer, he's a church health revitalization leader. He used to be. He's just recently stepped down from being the president of Lifeway. But the power behind what I'm about to share with you is that he actually bases a lot of his material on actual research. Okay? Researching churches, hundreds, thousands of people, hundreds of churches across the United States, and then he publishes the results, and he does it in a way that churches and leaders of churches can look at their things that are going on and try to figure out, are we healthy? Are we unhealthy? And now, he published a book not too long ago called Autopsy of a Deceased Church. Yeah, see, I told you to be a little negative. And what was interesting about it is it struck a chord with a lot of people. And I just want to share with you what they learned from the research about elements, because everyone knows what an autopsy is, right? Do I have to say it? There's children in the room. No, I'm just kidding. But now, these are not just your typical blog, email, you know, opinions. These are, albeit short and succinct, but they're elements of churches that died and what was in their makeup. Okay? I just want to share them with you because this is the negative illustration. And what I hope to present today, if it be a conclusion to this whole series, if it be biblical, is what I believe to be the positive answer. Okay? That's where I'm headed. Most members of dying churches didn't see it coming from his surveys. Many of the members were still dealing with the shock of the death of their churches when they were interviewed. It surprised them. Many members of the churches and leaders of these churches would have begun revitalization efforts if they knew how. You know, have you ever heard that illustration about hydration? Have you ever heard that? Your kids in sports? Okay, and they tell your kids in sports that if you wait until you're thirsty to drink water, you're already dehydrated. Have you ever heard that? So why do we wait to apply the solution? We should apply the solution sooner. So to stay hydrated, drink water ahead of time, right? For churches not to die, if they just would have known that they needed revitalization, maybe they would have done it sooner. Revitalize, to give life again to a church. We want revival, don't we? We want revival in our own lives. We pray for it, don't we? We want revival to happen. Well, it has to happen to a church, too. This is just illustration. He says, minor issues kill churches. Most of these churches did not die because of some major heresy. They did not die because of a mass exodus of the population. They died because they lost their focus. They died because they fought over things that really did not matter. They majored on minors to the point of death. Results from the survey. The silent majority killed churches, his fourth element. Some members saw the problems. They knew the power brokers in the church. They heard the constant chorus of the not-so-well-intended critics against the church and its leadership, but they said nothing and did nothing. Their silence was a dagger in the back of these churches. I told you this would be negative, right? Some members waited for the silver bullet. Many of them said they kept waiting on that young pastor who would attract new young families. Some of the churches got those young pastors and they ran them off when change began to take place. Most of the churches, though, never got the young pastor. They just waited to die. A church does not have to die, he concludes. Death is not inevitable, but most of the members of these churches would rather see the church die than change. The last phrase he used was, they got their wish. What do you think? Now be careful. I know it's dangerous to do this kind of thing from the pulpit. Don't start in your heart and mind assigning blame to us right now. Because I'm not doing that, and I'm not trying to do that. Okay? So be careful. But now you can tell why this book, it's been out for about 5 years now, and it's gained some acclaim. It's gained some acclaim. Because let's do this. Don't focus on the negative, focus on the positive. If you love God and you love your church, then what we'll do is we'll make sure that this never happens to us, right? That's what I want to get to. In a very similar article, five more quick things that masked, tricked members into believing that their church was doing okay. Ready? The church had money. Members still had their friends in church. Guests still came to the church. Mission giving was good. And meetings were well attended. And the church still died. Could hear a pin drop on the carpet. Right. Well, I think the thing in my heart as a pastor, and be very careful. The last thing I want to do is let social media define who we are. The last thing I want to do is be reactive to articles or social media or issues out there. That's not my purpose in sharing these. If I be a biblical pastor and we be a biblical church, what we really want to do is just get the right things in the right place. That's what we got to do. Okay? If God is God, and He's the head of our church, and we are His people, then what is this all about? It's all about God. It's all about Him. It's all about His glory. It's all about the church that Jesus builds, the church that Jesus uses. It's all about the book of Ephesians, that Jesus is the head of His church. It's all about Ephesians 2. You were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Ephesians 2:10. It's all about our identity. And is our identity truly in programming or a name or even a history? Or is our identity going to truly be in Christ? About Christ? For the glory of Christ? The individual in this room must come to Christ. The married couple in this room must come to Christ. The children in this room must come to Christ. The church in this room must come to Christ. It's what it's all about. It's what it's always been about. And so, what I want to share with you is a concept. It's all too simple, and you've probably seen it in other places, okay? It's not a magic bullet, it's just a concept. But churches also, we're going to go through some scriptures as we go through this. We need to have a process by which we help one another to follow Christ. That's all this really is. If you go through this process, it may not mean you're a true follower. It really has everything to do with your faith, your heart, your understanding of who God is in Scripture. At the same time, as an organization, as a body, as the church, we are here and exist for some purpose, for some reason. And so we're going to talk today about turning the church inside out. And without further ado, let's jump into that, and then I hopefully we'll get to a conclusion that'll bring it all together. Okay, so we're going to use the illustration today of a baseball diamond. Okay, anybody like baseball? A little bit. Okay, and here's the process. And what you might notice is that by the time you get to the eighth of nine messages, that you're like, he said that before. He said that before. I think he's covered this before. Okay, but we want to bring it all together. And so here's the thing. First base. Here's the idea. Let's say the community checks out our church. Let's say we have a family fun day. Let's say someone joins us from being invited, or someone sees something on social media and they check us out. Okay? You know, what's the first thing you want to make sure somebody understands? If you're at home plate and you're going to receive a pitch, okay? Does the person know Christ? First baseline. Does the person know Christ? It's all about Christ. Okay? It says, Paul says in Romans 10, 8 through 13, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay? So in your journey with God, first baseline. Have you called upon the name of the Lord? A church can't do that for you. A pastor can't do that for you. This is you and God between the two of you. Now, kids in the room who are old enough, your moms and dads, pray for this moment. Do you hear it? Have you called upon Jesus? Have you prayed to Jesus to believe for your salvation? I love how Paul says it in Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You see, do you know, do we know, do we understand? Jesus died on the cross for our sins. There is nothing else that will wash away your sin or forgive you of your sin than the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross for you. We have to be crystal clear on that point. Be careful. So much religion in thousands of years has sent well-meaning people straight to hell because they compromised on the gospel. I'm not up here to promote something so our denominational stance is clear. I'm up here to teach what Scripture says so that you can be saved. Do you have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ Himself? Do you believe that He died on the cross for your sin? Do you believe that God raised Him from the dead? And James might say, I think it's James, even the demons believe and shudder. Now, have you personally prayed to Jesus to save you? Only by grace through faith are you saved. Not of works. Absolutely essential. We got to be super careful that we're not patting people on the back and making them feel like they're Christian when they've never had an encounter with Christ Himself. Turn from your sin. Turn to Christ. Now, what would happen? Here's a couple illustrations as the New Testament goes forth. If a person receives Jesus, you realize, Peter, I'm going to shift now to Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit and power, witnesses to Jesus dying on the cross and rising again from the dead. And the people are pierced to the heart and they say, what should we do now? And Peter answers in Acts chapter 2:38, and he says to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 believed and were baptized. Wow. And then by the next, about two chapters later in the record of that history, the number grows to 5,000. 2,000 more are added. Please be very careful. I am not trying to get you baptized as if it's my agenda from a standpoint of a church. I am unfolding Scripture before you to say, if you are a follower of Christ and you have heard the message, then repent and be baptized. It is the call of God Himself. Paul will later write in 1 Corinthians 12:13. That by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we are made to drink of one Spirit. Here we arrive at first base, glorifying Christ in membership. It's not just membership in a human organization. It is aligning your testimony, your faith, your own proclamation with Christ for the world to see that I am an unashamed follower of my Master and my Savior. I unashamedly wear a wedding ring to show the world that there's a woman that I am committed to. I would unashamedly be baptized to show the world that there is a Savior I am committed to. And then I will join the church. His church, for which He shed His blood. If you decide not to join a biblical church, may your answer be no to Christ. You must deny Him. Because He is the head. And he's the one who purchased it with his blood. Membership is actually very important. It's part of our walk. It's part of our growth. It's part of our conviction. Okay, so let's say I baptized and I believe and I join a church. Oh, it's sad to hear how many people, there's kind of a pastor's joke, okay? And it's not really a joke, it's a bad, okay? You know, thank you for being here, sit down. You're welcome to join us and have a seat in the pew. Is that what a church is for? There's some traditionalism in there, and I'm not even gonna, I can't even criticize denominations, I'm not talking denominations. But what in a culture, America has been largely, we're a free country, we've been, a lot of people use the term that we're a Christian nation. Now, I know there's, we would all have a discussion about, is that biblical to call America a Christian nation? Okay, we can struggle with that another day, okay? But what I'm saying is how many people grew up in a church situation where their family were in church or you were in church, and what did church mean to you? What's it for? Well, that's what we're trying to answer here. Because here at First Baptist, our identity statement is glorifying Christ in worship, discipleship, and mission. Can I just use the sporting metaphor a little bit more? I don't want bench warmers. I don't want bench warmers. I don't want the old standard traditional joke of welcome to our church, thank you for joining, have a seat. I don't think that's biblical. I literally believe that if God saved you and brought you into his family, that he has a purpose for your life. And it's my job as a pastor, your staff's job as staff in support of the ministry of the church, or any volunteer leaders in the church, it's our job to help each and every specific person who's come to Jesus Christ discern what your calling and gift is, and then to help you and encourage you and give you the opportunity to do your ministry. Step up to the plate. Take a swing. Don't be a backseat Christian. Okay? I actually believe... Okay, where do we get some of that from? Here's the idea. Okay, Jesus bids his disciples to follow me. I don't think Jesus said, welcome to the church, take a seat. Right? He says in Matthew 4:19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He's going to give you a job. He's going to give you a ministry. Does that scare anybody? When I was a young believer in Christ, that scared me. Because I came out of a world that didn't really love people. And then I'm learning these things that Jesus says you're supposed to love people. You mean I came to Jesus and now it means I have to love people? You mean I came to Jesus and now I have to go fish? Make fishers of men? Yeah. What else did he say? And I'm just taking some texts from Jesus' words, Matthew 19:21. If you wish to become complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me, he said to the rich young ruler. You see, all throughout Scripture, Jesus indiscriminately said, follow me. He'd say it to a fisherman. He'd say it to a tax collector. He'd say it to a rich young ruler. What is our life purpose? Think of where you're at and your station of life, your career, your job, your family, your age. What's the next chapter in your life? I don't think Jesus' call changes. No, it's loud and clear. Follow me. Luke 9:23, which was in the reading this morning. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. So now is it becoming a little clearer? What did we think church was about? What did we grow up thinking church was about? What did we think going to that building every Sunday morning was about? What was it about? What did Grandpa do? I just have that in my mind because he's the only person in my family that took me to church. What was it about? Why did we go? What was it for? Y'all, so you can follow Jesus. So I can follow Jesus. Church is more than just coming together. It's coming together so we can strengthen each other, equip each other, build up each other, disciple each other so that we can follow Him. Are you a follower? John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. This time the statement is not so much in the form of an invitation or even a command. It's a statement of just a propositional statement. The people who hear Jesus' voice are his sheep. He's the good shepherd. When the sheep hear the shepherd's voice, they just go. They do it. They follow. Jesus, where you go, I go. Jesus, what you do, I do. Jesus, what you say, I believe. Jesus, what you command, I follow. Discipleship is what the church is for. It's supposed to be a disciple factory. Isn't that cool? Glorifying Christ in worship, discipleship, and mission. And so second base, if you've come to Christ and you're a believer and you've been baptized, you've joined the church biblically, our second base concept is simply this. Grow. Come to grow. We have opportunities for you to grow. It could be a Sunday school class. It could be a small group class. It could be the Journey Discipleship class. Okay? There's ministries we have for all ages. These ministries are not just times to come together to have fun and fellowship and food. The primary thing that we need to focus on is growing one another in the Word of God. So, if first base was join, second base is grow. Okay? How do we grow? Let me read some more scriptures for you. Let me pull these from Matthew 4:4 in the temptation where Satan tempts Jesus three times in the desert. Jesus was there 40 days and 40 nights without water. Okay? And Satan comes and tempts him three times, and Jesus replies primarily with quoting Deuteronomy each time. But in this one in particular, I love it in Matthew 4:4, that Jesus answers and says, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Has anyone been spiritually dry? Has anyone been spiritually confused? Has anyone been listening to 20 different teachers, 50, 100 different teachers out there? And from impression to impression, from feeling to feeling, you're being twisted and turned back and forth and here and there and everywhere. We do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. How's your Bible reading? How's your Bible intake? You know that Bible reading will help? I got some statistics to share with you in just a second. Let me read a couple more scriptures. You know, by the end of his ministry, in John 17, we know this is the high priestly prayer. Jesus now in a different context, not in confrontation with Satan, but now this time praying to the Father for the disciples. Jesus in John 17:17 prays to the Father to sanctify them, that's us, in the truth. Your word is truth. In 1 Peter 2:1, Peter the apostle says, therefore putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. We need to come to the Word of God together and disciple. Feast upon the Word. Learn the Word correctly. Study Scripture. Teach it to one another and teach it especially to the next generation. This is the second base. We want to emphasize this in our church. Okay? Do you intentionally, let me ask you a very personal question. Like we could turn the house lights down and the spotlight would be just on you and me. Pretend that it's just you and me in this room. Is it your desire to grow? That's my question. Do you want to grow? Do you want to grow in Christ and your faith? This is what the church should do, is give each person that ability to grow. Okay? And if we're misfiring on that, if we're popping the clutch on that, and if we're having trouble with that, you come talk to me right now. I mean, well, when the sermon's done. And the purpose of the church is to disciple its members. Aha, now you're going to start seeing, why is the title of the message Inside Out? Because we can only be effective in the community, effective in evangelism, effective in the mission, if we are healthy inside first. That's second base. Okay, let's keep going. No, let's not keep going because I have some statistics. No, but I'm going to keep going with the statistics. Okay? Published in Facts and Trends on July 2nd, 2019 by Aaron Earls, Christians say that the Bible is God's world, but even among Protestant churchgoers, only a third spend time reading it every day. Here's the statistics. Christians, 32% read the Bible every day. Only a third. That would be like, roughly illustrated, a third. That means two-thirds are not reading the Bible every day. A few times a week, the survey says, 27% read the Bible a few times a week. 12% read the Bible once a week. A few times a month, 11%. Once a month, 5%. 12% of Christians rarely or never read their Bible. You have to grow. Remember what Peter said? Crave the pure spiritual milk of the Word so that by it you may grow in respect to your salvation. We have to grow. The study identifies Bible engagement as one of the 8 signposts that consistently show up in the lives of growing Christians. This is not a guilt bomb. This is saying, let's come to the Word of God and let's have a banquet. Let's grow. Let's learn it together. Okay, so what's third base? First base is join. Second base is grow. Third base is serve. Serve. And we actually have this set up here at our church. Okay? If second base is all the discipleship programming we have, the journey, Sunday school, small groups that we have that you can all jump into, and we certainly welcome you in those. What's third base? Serving Christ. This is the philosophy of ministry that should be at the center of every New Testament church. And by the way, we went through the book of Ephesians, so hopefully this is one of those where you go, he keeps saying that same thing over and over and over again. It's Ephesians 4:10. He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. This is referring to Jesus Christ. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So one of the aspects of our service, of our ministry, of our own discipleship is this. This is where, let's keep using the baseball analogy, right? There's no bench warmers. Okay? No, it is not my philosophy. Thank you for coming to our church, but go ahead and have a seat. It's not my philosophy. My philosophy is, let's do what the Bible says. Come to Jesus, repent of our sin, repent of all things that are not of Him, receive Him as Lord and Savior, be baptized, join the church, grow in Christ, and start serving. You're going to serve, and in your service of the ministry and serving Christ in ministry, you're going to learn things about Christ and about people, and He will be there with you in the service. Okay? Wow. So third base is actually serving in and with the body of Christ. How do we do that here at our church? I'm going to embarrass some people. It's not really embarrassing. It's just that I didn't tell you I was going to do this. So I'm going to put you on the spot. If you're a church council leader or a deacon or a staff member, would you please stand? Yeah, I know. Church council, staff, deacons, do you know how much ministry is represented in this beautiful setup here? Thank you. You may be seated. These are some of the leaders in the ministry that we have here at the church. Evangelism and missions. We have deacons serving. We have a communication ministry going on. We have children's ministry and youth ministry and collegiate ministry called student ministry. We have Sunday school. If you're a Sunday school teacher and you did not stand, stand up. I'll make you stand up. Oh, y'all stood then? Sunday school teachers. Okay. Small group leaders. Johnette, thank you. Small group leaders. Any small group leaders that didn't stand? See, I'm trying to cover my bases because cover bases. Haha. These are people who the church has put their hand on their shoulder to say, we would love for you to lead a ministry. Join their team. What third base is, if you come and you're a believer and you join the church and then you grow at second base And then you jump in and you start serving on a ministry in our church and through our church. You start serving together in the body. Remember the body language from 1 Corinthians 12. Each individual part working itself out. The eye's not the ear and the ear's not the nose. We're all different. But God brought us together for a purpose. He's the one head. This is one body. And we all serve in it. And some of us are going to teach children. I love the children's teachers. We must pass the faith on to the next generation. Some of us are going to teach teachers. Some of you that might be sitting here who love to study Scripture, but you haven't had a chance to teach it yet, you're probably going to be a Sunday school teacher. But join the ministry first and learn how it's done and gain some insight and wisdom about how to serve in a ministry. Anybody love to tell people about Jesus Christ? Like, you're not the kind of person that most of us say, well, I'm kind of shy and I'm scared and I spend friendship. You know, I'm gonna make friends first. So you make friends for about 50 years and then you tell them about Jesus? No, not that person. I'm talking about the person that'll go out and witness to that parking lot pole out there, who loves to tell everybody about Jesus, whether they're a tree or a real human being. You should be on the evangelism committee. Yeah, amen, brother. God's given you that gift for a reason. And it's the church's purpose to put that gifting together and let's serve together. And don't get frustrated if the whole church doesn't do everything you want done. We all serve together, and there's things that people will do in this church that you wouldn't do. And vice versa. Okay? What about a healthy church? Okay? So thank you, church council leaders and Sunday school teachers. If I left anybody out, I didn't do that on purpose. Did you all stand? Okay? But here's the thing. We have to realize that there has to be people who we continue to raise up into leadership. So this isn't actually just a baseball diamond. You know what this is actually referred to as in church lingo? It's called a leadership pipeline. It's called a leadership pipeline. We believe that it's the church's job to reach people for Christ, to call them to obedience, to disciple people in Christ, and then to equip them and set them free to serve in the ministry. This is how it should work in a healthy church. Now, here's the cool thing. I believe that Jesus wants to turn his church inside out. Point number four, home run. Jesus said in John 20, 21, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." In Matthew 28:18, Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all things I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Glorify Christ in mission. I'm looking around the room because I'm trying to see if the person I want to talk about is here. Had a wonderful, wonderful email exchange this week. And it's one of our church members, and I won't embarrass the people by mentioning their name, but sweet, loving, serving, and they've been reading this little book called Gaining by Losing from J.D. Greer, which is some of us are reading in leadership at the church, and they had a light bulb moment, and they shared it with me. It's one of a pastor's greatest days when he gets, you know, somebody in the church says, "I got it. We are on mission. God gave my husband a gift and he told me what it was, and then we started doing this ministry and we started doing that ministry, and all this time I wonder, God, what do you want me to do? I finally realized I'm already on mission for him. I can't wait till next year when it all starts up again." The church is not meant to be spectators. We're all meant to be players. And we're all meant to be sanctified from our old life and the old way of sin and division and jealousy and arguing and frustration. And we're all meant to be brought to Christ. You know, I love one of my favorite phrases. It's not in Scripture, but it's one of my favorite phrases. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. We all come to Christ, and we are all equal. There's another brother who says, no one in the world is as good as me, because no one in the world is as bad as me, because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I love that. But you're the body, and He's the head. And He says, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He says, make disciples, teaching them to obey all things I've commanded you. See, come follow me is first base. Teaching to observe or obey all things I've commanded you is second base. And when He says, go and make disciples, or as the Father has sent me, now I send you, we serve and we go, and our church is literally on mission for the glory of Christ in worship, discipleship, and mission in this whole world. And what I think is really important about this is this. If you look at first, second, third, fourth base, and it's in your bulletins, I've italicized words underneath there. It's simply this. Join, grow, serve, and go. Join, grow, serve, and go. Here's what I want to suggest. This is the conclusion. Think about those negative examples I started with from Tom Rainer and churches that were dying and all those elements that of people that they thought what it was going to be like and what church was supposed to be like, etc. Okay? I've taken some scripture now. This is like a conclusion message, second to the last message in a series of 9 messages. I hope that you all see that it's also built on the foundation of the church that Jesus builds, the church that Jesus uses, and glorifying Christ in worship, discipleship, and mission. That there is biblical foundation to what we're talking about. And here's what I want to say now is this. I think this is the corrective to churches that die. I think that churches that die get their eyes and their focus and their thoughts off onto something other than Christ and His will, His word, and His mission. And they get ingrown, and they get infighting, and then they die. So I think, this is not a magic bullet either, but it gives us a simple process to think about our life. Where in the process are you? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and you're not baptized yet, oh man, just share your testimony to the world. We'd love to have you baptized. We'd love to share in that testimony of what God is doing in your life. If you're a Christian who has been sitting on the other side of the ballpark on the fence, you know there's a lot of spectators, they don't jump into the game to play the game. They stand behind the fence because they don't want to get hit with the ball. Okay? And it's time for you to come back to church. It's time for you to join again a biblical New Testament church. Then let's join together and encourage each other and teach one another. And if you're also a Christian who's like, you know what, I'm good. I'm good sitting on the bench. I want to be a bench warmer. You're still welcome here, but we're going to ask you to serve. Every member in the body doing its part. Every member in the body doing what God gave it to do. And then as a body, do y'all understand what we're going to do? Do you understand what God has given us to do? If we be His body here in Bettendorf, we're going to share Christ in Bettendorf. We're going to share Christ in the Quad Cities. We're going to share Christ in Iowa. We are going to share Christ someday again, maybe, to some village, Jutai, out on the Amazon River. We're going to share Christ, maybe back in Israel. We're going to share Christ to Central Asia. We're going to share Christ where His name has not been known before. We're going to be on mission, His mission. I believe Jesus wants to turn His church inside out. What I meant by that title was this. Whatever we are, we will replicate. If we're weak, if we're not biblical, if we don't follow the teachings of Scripture, if we're infighting and ingrown and stressed out inside, and we go try to take that to Bettendorf, that's what we'll take to Bettendorf. Weak, less doctrinal, ingrown, stressed out people. So what we have to do is have healthy, biblical discipleship inside, and then send those healthy biblical disciples to the world. Turn the church inside out. There are some churches who overemphasize either or. Have you ever seen a church that all they were focused on, and I'm just doing generalities, okay? All they were focused on was the inside stuff. Evangelism was not a priority. Mission was not a priority. And it's possible to become so self-focused and self-centered that they don't actually grow or affect their community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a shame. There's also some churches that if you get an evangelist as a pastor and he's really an evangelist, he's not a pastor. And again, be careful. I'm not trying to insinuate personal specific histories here. Okay? But all we got to do is get out in the community. All we got to do is get out in the community. All we got to do is get out in the community. And then the people in the church, they dry up like prunes because they're not being fed any meat in the church. I do not think it's an either or. I think it's a both and. I think we need to put our best efforts forward in discipleship, in commitment to Christ, in glorifying Christ in worship and discipleship so that we're strong and healthy on the inside. And then don't stop there. Turn it inside out. Then send our strong, healthy, Christ-glorifying disciples out into the world and replicate healthy, God-centered, Christ-centered, gospel-centered salvation to the world. We have to have strength in both areas. So, if you want to turn the church inside out, where are you possibly in the spectrum? No guilt, no pressure. If Christ be calling you to salvation, then come. If Christ be calling you to join the church, then come. If Christ be calling you to repent and heal your marriage, then do it. If Christ be calling you to be discipled, then go ahead and take that chance and do it. It's time. If Christ be calling our church to engage in ministry that we haven't done before, guess what? We're going to do it. And we're going to do these things. We're going to join, we're going to grow, we're going to serve, and then we're going to go. Okay? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, the things we have talked about today, again, Lord, every time I preach, every time we come together, these are things that cannot be done by any human being, only by your Spirit, only by your guidance, only by your blessing and wisdom can any of this be done. And I pray, Lord, that you so act in our lives personally and in the life of this church, in our families, that it is evident to the world that you are with us. It is evident to the world that this could not be achieved by human means. It is evident to the world that God is alive and God is real and God works in his people and in and through his church. I pray, Lord, for revival here among us. I pray so that we would then also be sent to the world to glorify Christ where he has not been named before. Lord, I pray your gospel of salvation go forth with power and save sinners. Bring them to yourself and restore them, to recreate them the way they were meant to be in the first place. So Lord, bless us all now, I pray, as we give you a commitment of worship in a last song together this morning. Bless us, glorify yourself in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.